What's happening? It's Contact the Cut, season 2, episode 36. Man, big shout outs to Uncle Snoop's Army and Bobby D Presents. I would not be able to do this without y'all brothers. Man, it's your host, DJ Juan Dollars, like I won some money, aka Zylo. Man, I got a very, very special guest. I'm talking about one of them people where you bring up Bay Area history, some of that town talk, some of that Oakland history of music. You can't forget to talk about this brother. You know, he's worked with some of the greatest in the, you feel me, in the Bay, from Tony Tone Tone to the Loonies to Tech N9ne, to be a part in the Regime Generals. I mean, the brothers worked with everybody, Hieroglyphics, Two Show. I mean, from One Drop Scott to Cosmo to Bosco. I mean, I got MH the Don in the building. What's happening, brother?
What's happening? What's happening, loved one? I'm in the building, man. You know, it's been a long time on the grind, but it's all love.
Man, how this quarantine season treating you?
I mean, I'm blessed. I'm healthy. My family healthy, so I'm blessed, but I like to get back to, you know, to the grind, but I'm blessed, man. I'm just taking it day by day, just trying to stay healthy and stay out the way, man.
Man, so, bro, I got a quote, and so pretty much this is how I break the ice before I go into the origin story of, you know, the history of you. So, you know, let me know how this relates to you, or if it doesn't, it's all good. I want to know. It's Contrast Uncut.
Okay.
I influence anybody who is able to get through the chaos of my first impression. Gary Vee.
Okay. I influence anybody that's able to get through the chaos of my first impression.
Yes, sir.
That was the question.
That was the quote. And how does it relate to you?
I mean, the chaos of my first impression. I mean, I'm more like a smooth type dude. I'm not too chaotic, you know. I can be if you rub me the wrong way, but I'm a gentleman, you know. So I'm not really like a dude that's out of character. So I don't know if that's really a quote for me, you know.
Well, I was thinking more so of the music. You know how the first impression of the music.
Oh, as far as music, the energy with the music. I mean, I think I influence a lot of youngsters, man. You know, I come up around a lot of greats that influenced me. You know, I started off with like Hiro with the Regime, you know, a product of like, it all started from like Digital Underground basically, and went down to Tupac, and from Tupac to the Outlaws, and from the Outlaws, the Loonies, and the Drew Down, and the Regime, and it just kept going. So I'm a part of that type of generation, and I was like the baby of the crew, so. You know, I've been around a lot. I done worked around everybody. It ain't too many people in the game that I haven't worked with. I've been around. So I think I influence a lot of people that come up under me too, you know. Like Mike Dean is like still, like he doing all Travis Scott shit. Like, you know, he doing Travis Scott. He did every Kanye album. He did Watch the Throne. And I was like a protege of Mike Dean too, you know. So I've been around a lot, and I influenced a lot of youngsters too. You know,
so, you definitely have an imprint on the game. That
I do, further. And like when, like I'm listening to the quote. Like when you say the quote, I was more like when I was young, my music was a little different because I was young and thugging and wild. So I was rapping that wild shit, but as I got older and I matured, I start making more music with more meaning to what's going on with the times and the world and life, because at the y'all still on deck? Zylo.
Yeah. No, I think Patty just logged in.
Okay. Yeah, but back in the day, like when we was doing the Regime with Mad Max, so shout out to Mad Max, man. Shout out to everybody. But when we was doing that, I don't think I really cared if I lived like to see tomorrow. It was like, so we was wilding. But as you get older, you realize the value of life, you know, and it just made me, you know, move a little differently.
So let me ask you this, loved one. Do you feel like the game chose you or you chose the game? And I'm talking about, you know, the entertainment world, because that's, you know, that's really the game.
I mean, the entertainment world and the streets kind of like go hand in hand, really. Like where I come up in East Oakland, basically, you know what I'm saying? So. You know, I'm from Walnut, so on Walnut, a lot of legends come from Walnut. You got Three Times Crazy, you know, the Regime. It was all birth right there on the block.
Yes, sir.
But as far as like the game most definitely chose me. I was born in this shit. I wasn't sworn in this shit. You know? Yes. Yeah. I come from a long line of legends. You know, so I'm a little different. I'm kind of like royalty when it comes to the streets. So I most definitely was bred for this shit. But as far as music, it was always in me. My father introduced me to hip hop when I was young, and I've been with hip hop ever since, man.
So what would you say was like your confirmation moment, or like, you know, a monument moment of like, you know, this music shit is something that you should be really, you know, investing your time into and keep on trying to dig yourself into it, that creative space?
I mean, when I started off, I was young. I was like probably like 13. I'm going to the studio with like, you know, Hieroglyphics and Souls of Mischief, Casual. I'm working with them dudes, but they signed a Jive. You know, they older than me. They got major record labels. Like, they on the radio, they popping. I'm in the studio with them. I was just the little homie, but always had a nice flow. And so I just kept working, and my confidence started building more and more as I seen that people was gravitating to my art. So I was like, damn, they like this shit. So I kept working, and I was like, yo, this is what I'm going to do right here. I'm going to make music, man. Because I always had a passion for music, you know. But one thing, I do music for the art and for the love. I never did music for money, man. I always did it for the love of the game, because I love it. Yeah. But to any young artists out there, because the game is hard too, but I'm going to tell you this from experience, I learned that if you keep working, the money going to come. Don't even worry about it. Just keep working. Even if you get burned on your first deal, just keep working, because the money going to come. You're going to get your turn to eat, but you got to stay grinding. So don't stop grinding, you know? That's what you got to keep doing.
Man, can you give a little bit of the history of the highs and lows that you go through of, you know, transitioning from being 13 to, you know, getting your own deal to just...
I've been through a lot of highs, highs and lows. At one point, you know, we was with Yuck Mouth. Okay, you had the Loonies. We was running with the Loonies. And Yuck Mouth went solo. He signed a rap a lot. Just like in the late 90s. We teenagers. I'm going to high school. And he went solo. He signed a rap a lot. He was like the hottest thing. Out of Northern California, he was probably the hottest artist at the time. Like either him or E-40 or Too Short. That was like the hottest dudes. But as far as lyrically, Yuck was like the lyricist. He was like killing it at the time. And he signed a rap a lot. He went down there and signed with Prince Jaden. So, and he was like the general of the regime. And we was the regime and he was Yuck. But it was like Tupac with the Outlaws, basically. But we ran with the Outlaws. Like, we in the studio, the Outlaws right with us. We're all affiliated. So, so we plotting on how we gonna attack the market. Like, who gonna drop albums first? We come with our strategies. Me and Mad Max was the youngest in the crew, so we was like, we the last up the bat, basically, because we was the youngest.
Right, right.
But at the time, you know, I'm hustling, I'm doing my thing, I'm in the streets. I'm like, yo, man, I don't want to wait. We're going to push now. I'm going to fund this shit. We just going to come out. Because I'm in East Oakland. We got the independent grind. So we press and push right there in the streets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Back then, that's how it was. And with support from the community. And I was, you know, I'm straight out the town. So I come from the dirt. So the community going to support me. So we pressed up. We go in the studio, record, we press up the project, and we dropped it.
How far did you used to have to travel to get your shit pressed up? Like, did you have to go to, like, San Jose or, like...
No, I think I pressed it up. It was this one cat that was in Oakland, but he was from EPA, and he pressed up the project. You know, back then, we recorded the project in Tony studio in the House of Music. Shout out to Dwayne. And Keisha Cole was in there with us on every session. She on the album. I was running with SIBO then. I was on Enemy of the State with SIBO. SIBO's another one of my big homies. I was with SIBO a lot. Spent a lot of time with SIBO. I was living with SIBO in Seattle. I was young. And so but SIBO, one of the dudes that embraced me when I was a youngster, too. Shout out to Bo. So Bo embraced me when I was young and gave me a chance, you know? And I just kept grinding, man. And we dropped the project, basically. So me and Max did the album, Thug Lords. And we released it. we went to the record store. We didn't even have a distribution yet. We went to the record store. When we walked in, I asked to speak to the manager. He's like, "Yo, what's up?" I went to Rasputin's. Anybody is from the Bay Area know about Rasputin's, legendary record store. So I went to Rasputin's. I was like, "Yo, can you sell this project?" He's like, "I take it on consignment." He's like, "I ain't gonna give you no money." I'm like, "All right, I ain't tripping. Just put it on the shelves." He's like, "All right, come on, let's do the paperwork. Give me 50 copies." So, all right, cool. Gave him 50 copies. But he ain't knowing about our street presence and the demand that we got at the time. So he take the 50 copies and we leave. And the next day I call him. Like, "Yo, what's up?" He's like, "Damn, I just seen you last night. Why you calling me?" I'm like, "I just want to see how things is going." He like, "All right," he said, "let me go look at the shelves. Let me go to new releases." And Scarface had came out that day. Mystical had came out that day. At the time, these was the top dogs. Right. You know, they had just dropped the same that day. They came out. So he said, "So you go to the record shelves?" And he said, "Yo, it's not even on the shelf." He said, "Let me go in the back of the record store and see what's going on." So he went to the back. He said, "Yo, this shit sold out." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, bring me a few boxes down here." Back then, it was 200 CDs in a box. So I said, "All right." And back then, you're getting $8. He's getting $8 a CD, you know. So he started doing like 100 units a day out of that one store. Basically, every store in the Bay Area would do 100 units. And we just ride around and just drop them off and pick up the money. So every drop was like $800 a day at every location. It was like a grind, you know.
Yeah.
Then we signed a distribution deal with Southwest out of Texas. Southwest was distributing a lot of major labels and major artists back then and labels too. So with Southwest Robbers, that didn't work out well. We did an overseas distribution deal and it just got out of hand, but I was young and I didn't really know what I was doing, man. So I had to learn. And but we did good though. It's a classic album. They still riding to it. Like they still, so it's like a classic underground album. But that was my first coming into the game. Had Steady Mobbing on there. They were signed to No Limit at the time. They was like major. They had just went gold. Keisha Cole was on there. Fat Bossy, Sebo, Yuck Mouth, and Killer Tay. Shout out to Killer. Killer was on there too. Wow. Yeah, I was running with Killer. I was staying with Killer. Killer showed me a lot of love when I was real young. That's my home right there. So it's all family. It was a family affair. And and that was kind of like my crash course in the music game right there. Yeah, that was my crash course. That's how I learned right there. Yeah, but before then, I was already in the studio with like major labels. I mean, I might be sitting in on a Jay-Z session. You know what I'm saying? I'm a young dude, but I'm with Mike Dean. So Mike Dean's producing for Jay and Scarface and all these artists. So I'm meeting everybody through him. Because I was his artist. At the time, I was his artist. So that's how everybody started knowing me. But then, so we shine and we up. But the distribution company robbed us. So it kind of broke my spirit. It kind of made me not want to make music because I spent my money to put the music out. So when they robbed me, I'm like, damn. Okay.
Because, I mean, bro, you was running it like a business, bro. I mean,
I was, but I wasn't in charge. See, at
well,
the time...
Well, I'm saying, how you was dropping off the CDs at Rasputin's...
I was, but I wasn't collecting the bread. My father was collecting the bread. I put my bread up to record the project, but I had a high demand at the time, so my parents was like, "Yo, we putting your album out." So I didn't really have the bread to put the album out. You know, back then, it wasn't like the internet. It was, you had to really have some bread. You know, you got to press up posters, you got to press t-shirts, you got to press, I mean, you're going to need like 100 bands, easy, just to do it. I'm like 17, 18 years old. I had some paper, but I ain't had no paper like that. So I had to rely on somebody else to do it. So basically, we was dropping all the CDs off. My family was collecting the money from it. I wasn't collecting the money. So... then we did the distribution overseas and everything. Basically, man, there's nothing worked out to where my pockets got lined, you know? But it was a good learning experience. But when my spirit got broke, when when they didn't pay, when the distribution deal didn't pay, it broke my spirit. So I went to the streets. I went back to what I know, man. I went to the streets because I had to eat.
Right, right. Because it put you at a low. It put you at a low.
And that was the low. So I went to
2 inches. So I went to the high,
and then went to the low. So I hit the low because I'm high now. The whole city listened to my music. I mean, I'm doing shows. I go do a show in another state. They sing every song word for word. And I'm like, yo, they bought this shit. Why I ain't get paid? But that's the record industry for you. You gotta learn. So, but my biggest mistake is that I stopped releasing music. Cause I let that break my spirit. The money, that's why I said that when I started this interview off, the money gonna come. Cause the money was there. I just had to keep working. And the big chunk of money was gonna come. At the time I had every label in the country looking for me. I mean, they come to my mother's house. I got Universal, A&Rs and execs from Universal, from Capitol and Epic. I mean, they all coming to the house. They flying in from New York and everything, coming to Oakland. Like, yo, we trying to sign this kid.
Bruh, I mean, at that time, you got to think about Richie Rich was blown up. Russell Simmons was out there doing a music video in the town. I mean,
Richie Rich is actually from my way, too. I work with Richie Rich, too. Me and Rich got a lot of music together, but Rich is actually from my neighborhood, too. He from the Hunters, but I'm from Walden. I'm from 102nd. Kick the Sneak come up with us. He from the block. Three Times Crazy, Bart, Agent Man, Kick the Sneak.
Bro, I love Three Times Crazy.
Yeah, and Regime and Three Times Crazy, that's walnut shit. For real.
I fuck with Regime. I mean,
and a lot of the slang, a lot of lingo you hear, the Fasheezy and Fashizzle and all that shit, we started all that shit. That shit all come from my block, man.
Facts, you know,
Hyphy, all that. We were saying that shit in the early 90s. Like, they used to call me Hyphy because back then I was real hyperactive. But I'm calm now. I'm real. Yeah, I was young, so I'm real calm now. I'm laid back and I just analyze now. But so I hit the low. I felt that I'm like, man, I'm done with music. I went to the streets. I'm like, man, I'm about to go grind, you know. So I hit the streets. I said, I'm gonna go grind for a minute and I'm gonna come back. But when I started grinding, the money got too good. It got too easy. I got lazy. And all the rappers wasn't having no paper like that. I mean, I'm eating now. I mean, this is like everything that they on now, I was on then. Big Rollie on, big 100 karat medallion, foreign outside. You know, as a youngster, I'm 20 years old. Wasn't no rappers having it like this. You know, so I'm like, I didn't really care about the music no more. I would go record all the time. I go in there with DJ Teray at the Hyrule Studio and we record projects, but I just wouldn't put them out. If I did, I'd press it up and just give it away because I didn't care. I mean, I might wake up today and just make a killing in the street. So I wasn't worried about no money. And that killed the passion a little bit. You know, it made me lazy. And that led to a federal indictment. That was another low. You don't get no lower than that.
Hell no. So maybe you gotta sit down. Yeah.
I had to sit down a long time too. That was something I had to digest though. So, you know, that's what happened.
In the power of reflection, where is the growth lie?
The growth lies is that I learned a lot of knowledge. I matured a lot. I learned who I am and I learned who everybody around me is. So, but when I fail, the whole time I was gone, I never stopped writing. I wrote music the whole time. Before I left, I had did a project though with Dwayne Wiggins from Tony. We did a whole album, but I didn't put it out. And I didn't even want to do an album. I wasn't even trying to make no music, but he kind of like tricked me into doing an album. He called me to the studio every day and like, yo, let's do it. Like, first he called me, he said, hey, I need you to do this song. I got this artist signed to So Def. I'm at the house eating dinner and shit with my family. He like, yo, pull up. He like, nephew. I'm like, what's up, huh? He's like, I need you to come over here and lay a track. I need a rapper. I'm like, man, I'm over here eating dinner, man. It's over, man. He like, I need you, man. Come on to the studio. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm on the way. So I go to the studio. Got this young artist in there signed to Jermaine Dupri. I write the song. I mean, I'm a writer, so give me 15, 20 minutes. I got the verse, 16 bars, nothing. One take, Jake, I'm out of there. All right, Unc, I'm gone. You know, I bounce. The next day he called me like, hey, let's record again. Come to the studio. Like, all right. But the next day, it's not for the social deaf artist. I'm thinking it's some Tony stuff. So he played a song. It was hot. I said, ooh, I like that, huh? He said, jump on it. Write to it. He said, give me 2:16. So I wrote 2:16, recorded it. I bounced. We did this for about a week straight every day. After about the 6-7 songs, I said, man, hey, what you going to do with all these damn songs? He said, man, these your songs. I said, what the fuck you mean these my songs? He said, man, you got hella talent, man. He's like, you look like one of the rawest artists in the city. And you're not doing that with your talent, with your craft. He's like, I just want to see you use it, nephew, please, man. He said, so finish the album. I'll be in and out. I'll play the instruments and sing some hooks, and it's your project. I said, all right, whatever. Cool, then. So I stayed there with the producer, and we just kept recording. But I got indicted after that, you know, so I didn't get a chance to release the project. So I fell. Go to the feds. And feds is cold too. They came and got me for something I did when I was young. I was like 22 years old. At the time I'm like 26. They just snatched me up. You know, they've been like, I knew they was watching. I knew they was paying attention, but it ain't like I wasn't standing on the corner doing hand to hand. So it ain't like I was, you know, I ain't knowing about conspiracy like that yet. I ain't knowing that you ain't gotta have nothing. All people, somebody say your name, you done, you know? So I wasn't knowing how that worked at the time because I had never been incarcerated before. So they come get me, bam, I go to the feds. I lay down. But the whole time I said, when I get out, I'm gonna come hard. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna come harder than ever. I'm listening to the music. I'm seeing who doing what in the city. And I seen that the craft of the music had changed. It had lost subject matter. It had lost consciousness. I seen that, so I'm paying attention to it. I was like, I gotta come back because they need me. The youth ain't got nobody to teach them. There's no message in the music no more. They just saying whatever.
Facts.
So I said, so I just stayed writing the whole time. Every day I write music, and that was therapeutic for me too. If I couldn't write music, I don't think I'd have made it because that released the tension. Between exercising and writing music, that's how I release the frustration and the rage and the anger that I had built up inside of me. If not, I would have had to let it out on somebody else. So that's what I did to get me through my incarceration. And for you know it, it shot by. So I was gone a long time, man. I was gone 12 years, you know? So it wasn't like a weekend stint. It's gone a long time. So I had to prepare myself mentally, spiritually, for the future. I had to find out who I was. Either this is going to enhance you or this is going to break you. And I made a vow that it wasn't going to break me. I made a vow that I wasn't going to become institutionalized. And I made a vow that I was going to come back and make good music and give it to the world. And so when it was time for me to go, I got to the house, I came home, hit the halfway house. Most people hit the halfway house, they're looking for jobs and all that. I get a pass, I just go to the studio every day. So that's all I did. So when I get out I'm in the halfway house, they only give me like a 4-hour pass at the most. So I spend my 4 hours, and that's 4 hours getting to where you're going and coming back. So when I get to the studio, I probably got like 2 hours to record, then I gotta start making my way to get back. So,
and bro, would they let you go back to your hometown or like?
Yeah, you can go wherever you want to go. You tell them where you want to go.
Oh, okay.
But I went to Los Angeles. I didn't go to Oakland because I figured, I said, if I go to Oakland, I'm going to get some bullshit. I said, so I needed a fresh start. You know, Oakland straight. I love Oakland for sure, man. Oakland, stand up, man. East Side, man, 100 block. I love the town. But I feel for me to pursue what I wanted to do with my life, it wasn't in Oakland no more. The streets had changed. Oakland was about unity. It wasn't no more unity now. It's violent. There's no love. So I said, I'ma leave and go represent somewhere else. And they gonna support me and love me. But if they see you every day, it could get ugly. So and plus the music industry is not there. The music industry is in Los Angeles, New York, and Atlanta. Simple as that. So I came to LA. Plus I got a lot of family in LA too. So I went to LA and I said, okay, it's time for me to pursue the music game here. So I started off, my homie came and got me. I'm in the halfway house. I'm fresh out. I've been gone forever, man. Everything changed. I barely not even work a cell phone at the time. Yeah, I'm serious, man. Everything changed. It's like technology like took off, you know? So he come snatch me up. He's like, yo, I'm gonna pull up. I'm like, all right, pull up. So he come pull up on me. We ride. He make music. He got studio and everything. I'm like, man, he wasn't no rapper. He a rapper. I'm like, he wasn't never no rapper. You know what I'm saying? Right, so, right. Yeah, so he like, I'm a rapper. So I'm like, okay, cool. We go to his house. That's my man, Cobain. Bird Cobain, stand up. What up, homie? So he like, I got the studio. He like, you inspired me. You know, y'all put it down. You always show me how to do this. You know, you was ahead of your time, bro. You a legend, bro. He like, let's just work. I know how to engineer. I got beats. I got everything. I just want to see you get back to where you're supposed to be. Mm. I'm like, all right, let's work. So we just start recording. So I first got on the mic. I was kind of rusty. I ain't in front. Because, like, when you rap on a microphone and when you rap, like, without a microphone, it's, like, totally different. And then when you're on the microphone, every artist finds his pocket. It's a place where you like to sit at on the mic to for your delivery and your cadence. My shit was off. I hadn't did that shit forever. So,
so yeah, once you were making beats off the wall, off the, like, whatever you could find.
I had MP3 players. So what I would do, okay. I would download songs and I learned how to block out other artists and just rap to their beats. So at first it was hard and I couldn't do it. And I'm like, damn, I got to figure this shit out so I can write. I got to listen to new music so I can stay creative and just see where the production going, the drum patterns. And, you know, so I had to study. So I just started just blocking artists out and just rocking, just making a whole new song of they shit. And I figured, so I called my producer. I called One Drop Scott. I'm like, yo, One Drop. He's like, what's up? I said, yo, I've been rapping to these other beats. I said, if I tell you what beat I wrote it to, you can make the same beat at that same BPS, at beats per, you know, at the same tempo, and we can make a new song. He said, for sure. I said, all right, cool. I'm about to write. So I wrote about, I don't know, I might have wrote 1,000, 2,000 songs in there easy. Shit. Yeah. I wrote a lot of music. I got more music right now than I say any artist in the game, I guarantee you. Since I've been back a year. I mean, when I go to the studio, I might go there for 2 hours and I record 4 or 5 songs. Like, one take everything. We out of here. That's just, I do this, you know? So, I always had a strong work ethic, but I get that from working with the regime and from that's like the Tupac work ethic. That it got passed down to us. So, I work hard and I record a lot. If we go to the studio, if we ain't gonna be playing no games, we're gonna work.
Yes, man.
So it's basically, I can record a song, hook, 2 or 3 verses, 30 minutes, I'm done. So most engineers can't even keep up with me when I'm recording. I'd be like, slow down, hold on, slow down. So I just came back and that's what I did. So we worked. I dropped the first EP. It was called 3,650 Days. I planned to do that when I was gone. I was in there and said, damn, what you gonna call your first release? So someone called it 3,650 Days. Even though I did more days than that incarcerated, but that just evened out the 10 years. You know, yeah. So I'm gonna use my federal ID for the album cover. And that's what I did. So I used my federal inmate ID and I named it 3,650 Days. And we dropped it. And that's what it did. It did good. It did pretty good. It was a good introduction for me to coming back to the game. I got a lot of love. They watch now. They got the microscope on me now. They trying to see what I'm going to do next. Exactly. Yeah, so now I'm about to come back. We got a new single we about to drop. It's called Drop a Honey. And it's banging. I'm gonna do that. And I got a project I'm about to drop called Let Them Know. And we're just gonna keep dropping. I got a lot of projects stacked up. When's it gonna drop them? I got, you know, I'm working I'm plotting out the future basically, so I might stack so many projects up and then I'll just drop them as I'm ready.
Man, it's always better to be ready than have to get ready.
Yeah, for sure. So that's how I've been working. And so I'm here, I'm back, I'm blessed, I feel good.
Man, yeah, I can't wait to hear all the content.
Yeah, it's all good. I got a lot of good content. I'm working with Cosmo, back working with Cosmo. You know, Cosmo come up with us actually too. I talked to Cosmo about 2 days ago. And he called me. He was like, man, I just called, brother, to tell you I'm proud of you, man. I said, man, for sure. He said, man, you know, y'all embraced me before anybody checked on me or knew me, man. Y'all put the light on me, man. So Kaz is 100. That's one of the realest dudes in the game, man. So shout out to that brother, man. And Kaz, he kept it real. Kaz doing a lot of things. He just produced a few tracks for Meek Mill, new project.
And, yeah, I had his producer, Vidal Garcia, on here. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure it's only a matter of time if I get Cosmo on here.
If you want Cosmo on there, that's nothing. I can set it up for you tomorrow, whenever you're ready. Mm-hmm. Kaz is family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was working with Kaz. So Kaz did, I think he did two tracks. We probably did about 10 tracks. But I've been dropping them on different projects. I finally put two on this project. I think he got two on the next. We just working on, that's my brother. So, you know. Awesome. But Kaz wasn't even producing. He had just started producing when I left. Kaz was a rapper.
Whoa.
You know, man. And he became a hell of a producer. He hot.
right.
Any Taylor gang. He with Wiz. He with Wiz Khalifa. He Taylor gang.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, so a lot of people that was like Regine is like in positions now, right now in the game. They might not be representing Regine, but they come from the regime and they're in position and they're doing good. So for me to come back, it wasn't as hard as it would be for a lot of people, because I still had the relationships and I had resources, relationships basically for me to get back in.
Bro, that was like one of the things we always loved about the culture. We always wanted the damn dragon chain. Like, we all, like, you feel me? That was like
the
mob stamp. Like, if you
was the first one with the dragon chain.
Wow.
And the tag, yeah. First one with the dragon chain. I had the dragon chain. Yeah. I had the dragon chain way back with the iced out grill with the rubies and the diamonds and all that. That was my thing, yo, as a youngster. Yo, the regime was major. People don't really know how big the regime was, man.
Come on.
I mean, a lot of people don't, I think a lot of people know, but a lot of people forgot, but it was like the West Coast Wu-Tang. Like, it was crazy. It kind of surprised me even how big it got. Cause we started off, it was the mob. It was three times crazy. Richie Rich, Governor, Drew Down, Swoop G. And I was just like a youngster in the loonies. And I wasn't even really on as far as the music yet. I'm just a teenager. So me and Yup and Mad Max and Fast, we start running around all day through L.A. And we was like, yo, we need our own name. And we came up with the regime. And that's how it all started. And that shit just blew up. It was just... I mean, I pressed up some T-shirts. I went back to Oakland. I pressed up some Regine T-shirts. And I just took them to it's a burger stand in Oakland called Ben's Burgers, a legendary burger spot where everybody comes through. It's in my neighborhood. So I just went to the kind of studio across the street. So I just sat at the burger spot with a box of T-shirts. Sold them like hotcakes. I was like, damn, they fucking with this. And it just kept going. You know, even my mama, she used to be like, you always with that music and you need to do this and do that. I'm like, man, I'm telling you. So one day she's like, I gotta go to the store. And I think she had threw on one of my T-shirts and shot to the store. She had a Regine T-shirt on. When she got to the store, she said the gang of little dudes was like, oh man, that's the Regine. And she's like, this is my son. And she's like, oh, you little key mama. And it was big, you know. And she started realizing what I had going on. That's when my parents kind of stepped in and wanted to be involved in my music career as a youngster, you know what I'm saying? So that's where it all started at. But here now, I got a new crew, got the Cream City Movement, and that's what we're doing. We're about to put this thing together and put it down.
Man, bruh, so I got to get into my awareness segment. You know, I like to drop knowledge on a lot of the youngsters, and there's a situation that's going on in our society where a lot of people don't know what to do in the situation. And I'm talking about, you know, when the red and blue lights hit and that bright beam hits the back of the neck, hits the back, searches for heads in the car, and you hear that blurp sound underneath. I'm talking about, you know, when you get pulled over. And so a lot of people
that's not good
in the situation when they get pulled over. So I like to ask my guests, you know, if they could share a time when they was pulled over, and also give some advice to the youngsters on what they should be doing so that, you know, they can get through it and get home.
Well, with that question right there, it's kind of hard because each circumstance is different. First of all, who in the car? What's in the car? That's, you know, what's your status as far as in the system that they got set up? Are you public? Are you private? I mean, it's a lot of things that go with that. So it's kind of a hard question to answer. But what I would give to the youth is to stay knowledged up, study, understand the system, and basically keep yourself out of bad situations. Yeah, that's what I would do, you know.
So if you was talking to somebody, little brother right now, that doesn't know what to do and they finna get blurped and they called you right now, what advice would you give them?
I would ask him if he was doing something hot first.
Right.
If he doing something hot, I'm gonna tell him you better stab the gas.
In the corner and throw something out.
Yeah, nah, but nah, some real talk, man. Hopefully that hopefully you're not out of pocket. If you get blurred, okay. Hey, officer, how may I help you? Your license registration, here you go, huh? I'm clean, you know, have a nice day. You pull off, you know. But unfortunately though, in this country, man, it's a lot of bad things going on with law enforcement, man. And it's sad to see the things that have been taking place with people losing their lives and police gunning people down. And it's just sad, man. And it hurts to see the people get oppressed, get locked up, because the judicial system is really corrupted. And in America, crimes are commercial. And when I say commercial, I mean that they're profiting off of crime. So they're making a profit by locking you in prison.
Facts.
And it's sad, but it's true. But people don't know this, and people don't understand, and people don't read. But it's common sense. I mean, when you get hit with a charge, first of all, look at the definition of charge. What does that mean, a charge? Think about it. When you go to Walmart and you pull out your debit card or your credit card, what you gonna do? You gonna charge it. So you get hit with a charge. That means it's a monetary situation. It's monetization involved. So then they hit you with then you got a penal code. Whatever the charge is has a penal code. And every penal code has a penal sum. Why does it have a penal sum? Think about it. It's money involved. So basically, when you get caught up and you go to court, they charge you, you get hit with a fine, but you don't know how to pay it. They're not showing you how to defend yourself, but they can't teach you that. That's something that you have to educate yourself on. And at the time, I failed myself because I was ignorant of the law at the time. But being ignorant of the law is no excuse. So I had to suffer. But if you read and you seek the knowledge, you shall find. So the best advice I would tell the youth is to study and become conscious of what's going on in the system.
Facts.
Not conscious of what's going on in the system, then you'll become victim of the system because you don't know how to protect yourself. And that's the best advice that I would give to any youngster. Knowledge is power. That's the realest quote ever. Knowledge is power. Like throw every other quote away, man. Knowledge is power, for real.
I got knowledge is power, but when you use that knowledge, it's your superpower.
It is, but if you don't got the knowledge, you can't use it. So you got to seek the knowledge first. You got to read. And don't believe everything that they see on the media, man. The media is owned by the same people that's oppressing you. So don't do that. Go do your own research and do your own due diligence and understand what's going on in the world. Right. That's the best advice I can give him. But you know, anytime a person see the police, he gets paranoid. Coming from, you know, if you're from any hood, any ghetto in America, as soon as you see the police, you get paranoid, you get spooked, you start sweating. But it shouldn't be like that.
Turn into the first open parking lot.
Because the police has, they have an oath to protect and serve. They do have an oath, and they're supposed to uphold the oath, but they're not upholding their oath. So you got to hold them accountable for that, too. But the only way to hold them accountable for that is for you to do your own research and get your knowledge up to where that you can even communicate with them properly to put them in their place. So I would say just research, man. But if you haven't done no research and you don't know what's going on and you ignorant of what's going on, it can be a bad situation. I really don't know what to say to them because it's like damn near too late. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully I hope that they're not out of pocket. They ain't got nothing that's hot on them. And they can just, you know, show them their identification, their registration, license, and get on about their business. But it's a bad situation when you're dealing with law enforcement. It can get real ugly, especially right now. They got everybody locked down. Look what they just did to the world. They got the whole world in prison right now.
Real talk.
Yeah, so they flexing their power, and they doing a lot of things with the monetary system. They basically just oppressing people. It's going to get hard. It's going to get real hard out here, man. People can't even pay their bills right now, man. But they eating at the top. They eating good. So you got to learn how to survive in their system, because it's their system. So you got to study and then learn how to survive, man.
Yeah, real talk. It's not the fit of us being the fit. It's just the fit of what they create.
Yeah, they creating everything. And you got to remember, too, people don't understand. Government is a fiction. It's a corporation. You're not a fiction. You God's creation. You alive. So you have the power, but you have to read and get the knowledge to understand how to utilize your power. Amen. The government is a corporation. That's all they are. They're right. A corporation. They're a fiction. So they bring a charge against you. And really, they can't bring a charge against you because you're real and they fake. But you submit to it because you volunteer. But you got to study, man. That's another conversation. You know, I don't want to get too much into that. They got to, you know, do your homework. That's all I can say.
So, you know what? Since, you know, it got deep into there, I like to get out of the deepness and go into some fun. And I got this next segment that's called Trading Places. And, you know, it's like okay. That movie, Dan Aykroyd, Eddie Murphy, they wake up and lights change.
For sure.
So, for you, I got two iconic people, and we're going to trade their lives. And question number one is, will it work? And question number two is, what would life be like if they traded places?
Okay.
So the two people I got for you today is E-40 trading places with Steve Young.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, he's still quarterbacking. So
I don't think it's gonna work.
You don't think Fody can do it? He be quarterbacking.
I don't know if he quarterbacking that way. Nah, but shout out to 40, man. But I ain't even know about 40. I mean, Steve Young. I don't know if we're going to accept Steve Young. You know what I'm saying? On the mic, you know?
Man. Can you imagine Steve Young being a part of the clique?
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I don't think Be Legit going to accept that, man. Shout out to the homie Be Legit, man. What's up with you? Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. That's wild. But I don't think that's going to work, brother. It's two different individuals, two different walks of life. But it's good. It's a good laugh, though, for sure.
Well, can you imagine at least one thing that'd be different if Fody played football and became an attorney, and then Steve Young actually became a rapper and became an ambassador of the Bay?
Wow. That'd be wild. That'd be real wild. 40 might be able to get the quarterback. I mean, if he was really trained and brought up doing that, working on his arm, you know, but right now, today, At 40's age? No.
Yeah, he actually matching his name right now with his age, so.
Yeah. But before he put it down, though, he's still keeping himself relevant. I respect it.
Absolutely.
Put it down. Keep his bars up to par, too. He ain't start making mediocre-ass music. He's still keeping it up to par, so I do respect it, man. Because a lot of times you get lazy, man, and it just get real watered down. I just be like, damn, why they still doing it? You know? I hope somebody tell me whenever my flow just get all the way watered down, just let me know, man. Look, your passion is gone, man. Sit down, man. Take your boxing gloves off. You know what I'm saying?
Man, go try something else out for a little while. Come back when you're ready.
Yeah. 40's still making good music, so that's a blessing. That's a blessing for sure. Yeah. Be legit too. It's the whole camp over there. Hit a slam, all of them. I respect it, man. Sick with it, man. For sure.
Always.
Yeah. That's the homie.
You know, Muggsy, his brother, he's been on the show and stuff, and you know, he owns a fitness explosion, and so he's getting everybody in shape. So Fody's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I seen that. Yeah. So I did too. I'm on the fitness too. Especially, you know, I just came from the behind the gate. So you know, I'm on the fitness too for sure. I'm trying to stay healthy. Yeah, I'm trying to stay healthy. Yeah, for sure. I work out every day. Gotta stay healthy. Chiseled. Yeah, gotta stay chiseled. I want to, you know, gotta stay lean, man. We getting older, so I want to be healthy.
Man, real talk. So, bro, I got this next segment. It's called Impulse Q&A. It's more so like fans asking questions, but instead of me asking the fans, they got like these cards that have questions on there. They don't pay me, so I don't say their name, but they got good questions.
Okay, let's run it.
And bro, you could pass. You know, if a question you don't like, you could pass, but you still got to answer three questions.
Okay, come on.
All right, question number one. What's the weirdest tradition your family has? Different.
Weirdest tradition my family has? I'm going to pass on that one.
If you could jump into a pool full of something, what would it be?
Money.
I pick the same thing every time.
Money. Yeah, a pool full of money, man. A pool full of Federal Reserve notes, fiat currency.
Be real specific. And I want to make sure I got bags attached behind me, so when I jump, it's like a parachute collecting money as I drop through.
For sure, yo.
Question number two. How much would someone have to pay you for your little toe? Bro, what the fuck?
That's a crazy ass question. It's not, ain't no price on that.
He said, nope, you ain't getting this. You're going to have to catch another bullet.
I ain't going for that. I'm not doing the body parts.
Yeah, shit, no, I ain't with that either. You ain't going to get no black market anything from me.
No, I can't do it.
Is a hot dog a sandwich and why?
Man, well, who did these questions?
You can pass.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that.
If you were reincarnated as a famous landmark, which would it be?
As a famous landmark? I don't pass on that.
Would you rather give up all drinks except for water or give up eating anything that was cooked in an oven?
I already gave up all drinks except for water. All drinks except for water. That's it.
He said, that's real life choice.
All I drink is water. That's it. Once in a while, I might slip and pop a little Dom P or something, but most of it,
celebrate every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, man. But it's just water for me. No juice, no sugar. It's all water, man. You know,
it's what?
All water.
Let me ask you this. What are you most excited for coming up? I know we talked about the EP dropping. I know it's making noise. I know you got that whole project you did before you sat down. Is that going to come back out? We going to get a resurface, a resurgence?
My best thing I got right now is Drop 100. We about to release Drop 100, and I'm pretty excited about Drop 100. I got my little cousin on there, man, little Yachty Benji, man, from East Oakland. He on there, and he buzzing real hard in the streets in the town. And they loving him right now. He running with Kamaya. Him and Kamaya run a lot. But I put him on the track. And I think it's gonna do a lot of noise. It's a nice project. It's real nice.
Hey.
Yeah. Drop 100. We got that coming real soon. So y'all be ready for that. Drop 100 is banging. Yeah,
man,
shout out to my
videos
man.
Videos coming out.
Yeah, I got I just dropped a couple. I got Holla. I dropped Holla. It's over that. I flipped that Tupac track, Holla at Me. I flip that. That video dropped. I got a few videos out. I just dropped. I mean, only been working for like a month, so still fresh. But I'm gonna do a video for Holla too. If they ever let us out this damn house, I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna get back to work.
Cause you know, I know you deep on storytelling and keeping the resurgence of just the content being there. The subject matter.
Yeah, they're not telling. They ain't telling stories no more, man. Right. I'm listening to music and I'm like, dang, they just sent a bunch of gibberish. The song don't even have a concept no more.
Bro, the videos are worse. All they got you doing is walking down the damn road with some lights and some transitions, and that shit trash.
It's trash, man.
So that's what I'm leading. I want to know what videos you're doing, because if you put in subject matter behind the lyrics, I know you're going to make the rest come to life.
I am. I want to tell a story, and I always want to have a concept. You should have a meaning in everything, you know? But I got two videos out so far off the 3,650 days. And I plan to drop a few more, but they kind of stagnated my program. I can't work right now. So, you know, we stuck in the house, social distancing. You know?
Shit. Put that camera and get that camera phone, that iPhone 11 or something, or them new whatever they call it.
I'm on the
camera joints.
I'm on the 11 right now, but that's cool. But I want to do it right.
Nah, I feel you, bro. Yeah. Don't do nothing half-assed, cause you gonna get a half-assed result.
That ain't my style, man. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it right. If not, I'm just gonna kick back, man. But I got two videos out.
Bruh, you got any acting coming up?
I actually did one movie already since I've been home. It was called, my man Grayson Films. Shout out to Grayson Films. I did a film with my man, A Second Chance. The movie's called A Second Chance. I did that. It's already out. It's airing on TV. I forgot what station he got it on. I don't think it's on Netflix. It's on
Hulu or something.
It might be on Hulu or TV One or something. I don't know. He got it on there somewhere. But I'm going to do a lot more acting. Actually, I'm about to do some production. I'm going to act and do production. I got some. We're working on a script. I wrote one script already. Working on a new one. We're going to do some movies. We're going to do music. And we're just going to grind. We're going to grind it out. We're going to keep pressing, keep applying pressure until they respect it. That's what we're going to keep doing.
Keep shining that light, brother. Because, you know, in the town, they get love, but they robbed MC Hammer. So you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think but about really, those moments.
But the truth though, Hammer got to the bag. He ate. Hammer ate damn good.
But Hammer should still be around, is what I'm getting at. He should have did 20 years of really moving.
Hammer's still around, but you gotta think, man, the music kind of like, it ain't that the music changed, but Hammer changed too, man. Hammer didn't want to really eat. He didn't want to really live that life. Now Hammer's more into God and in the church now. So you know Hammer's family, man. And I don't really speak about him too much in my interviews and things. But I grew up under Hammer, man. He's actually my little brother's uncle. We got different fathers. Hammer is my family. So Hammer never stopped moving. Hammer's still counting that bag. He's doing damn good, and he's still performing. He still probably get about 50 grand a show, but he just do it overseas. He don't really work out here like that no more. But Hammer still eating. Don't sleep. Hammer did he contributed a lot to hip hop. You know, they can say whatever they want to say about Hammer, but Hammer got the largest hip hop album that's ever been released, man. He went 15 platinum, man. You gotta respect it, man. The man had TV, he had cartoons, TV show. I mean, he had everything you could think of, man. So, man, shout out to him, man. You know,
man, always much love and respect to that man, because you know he put a lot of inspiration to a lot of us.
He put it down for real, and but the game changed. But I also think that he changed. I think you know he had his. Everyone has a time, and life is about evolution, and he evolved. You know, but what he set out to do, he did that.
He accomplished.
He accomplished, man. Well over. He did great. So. He good. He probably but you know, cause he Tuesdays and Thursdays he used to have his thing. It was his hall in Tracy, California, and all the kids would go there and he'd teach them dance moves and choreograph them and take them on tour with him. He was still coming through 50 deep, you know, when he performed. You know, he ain't never stopped. But you know, it was cool. I used to go up there and kick it with him, just holler at him, and you know, watch what he do with the kids and stuff. But he was in the church because I was trying to get Ham to help me at one point. I said, I'm gonna do this music, man. Ham, give me a deal, man. Walk me up in there so I can get the deal. He was like, man, nephew, he said, you coming hard. What you saying is hard. He said, but it ain't coinciding with my life right now. Because he would hear me, he was a man of God. I was spitting that hardcore gangster shit still at the time. I just speak reality now. My music is just about reality. Whatever going on in the world, I write about it. If I'm feeling a certain emotion, it come out in the music. It's reality. Just that's all it is. Yeah, that's the best way I can describe it. I rhyme about life. I got a lot of music coming though. A lot of music, a lot of good subject matter, good tracks, production. I got Cosmo, I got One Drop Sky on the beats. I'm working with this kid named Yondo. I'm working with AG. AG, he is a musician. He usually run the band with Too Short. I got all them working on music, man. And my man Justin Graham, he was down with the Track Masters. He got a lot of hits up under his belt for like Keisha Cole, Ludacris, a lot of other artists. I got them all producing. We got some good shit coming. It's going
to
be all good.
A lot to be excited about, brother. Lot to be excited for.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to do this drop of honey and I think you're going to feel it. Have you heard the EP yet?
I've heard 3 tracks off of there. I haven't got to spend too much time on it, just to be real.
That's cool. That's what's up. It's cool.
A&R and I'm involved like just heavily, and like I was able to dig in, and then I got another email, and you know, phone calls hit, and then I had a chance to go back into it. But nah, brother, I respect your lyricals, bro. Like, you're really painting a picture, and like I like to say, I fuck with producers because they take the canvas when it's blank, and you know, they throw their paint on there, and they leave enough space for an artist to come on there and put their voice on there, and then we got a masterpiece.
That's how it goes, too.
Bruh, like, but you really paint. Like, you're not just messing with these. You're not just throwing a couple of paint on there and saying it's a masterpiece. You over there really telling a story. You can see
the
outlines.
Yeah, because I feel like
as tattoo artists in a way.
Because music is art. So if you're not gonna craft good art, it should be vivid. But I grew up to like Rakim, Nas, Kool G Rap. You know what I'm saying? In our way, Too Short. Ice Cube. I mean, I grew up to artists, so, and I studied their artwork, and I just molded my own to make who I am, and I just started perfecting my craft. The more you do it, you'll get better. But these artists now, it's like, they just want to mass produce. They want to drop. So they just go in there, and they basically saying anything, and I just feel like, but people listen to it, so I don't want to sound like I'm hating or nothing, but I mean, I can't ride to it. It ain't for me, man. I just, because I need something. When I hear the music, it should inspire me to want to up my pen game. That's what I want.
Bro, but see, that's timeless music. That's classical art. That's something that, you know, that lasts the test of time. Like we was talking about, we talk about Hammer. Hammer got music that will last the test of time.
You played Let's Get Started, Turn the Party Out today.
It turned and had a whole block come out their house and keep our social distancing.
Yeah, for real. Turn the party out today. He'd come out and turn it out right now. You know, I mean, I still listen to Nas and Tupac like on the regular because they still inspire me.
Yes, sir.
You know, I need inspiration. It's not many artists. Like, I listen to like J. Cole. I listen to Kendrick. I listen to, you know, I listen to the lyricists of the day. Yeah, I do. But a lot of the over auto tune and mumbling, I really that's not really not for me, because it don't inspire me to put my pen down. I need something that's gonna inspire me to write a classic, man. I want to make classic music, man.
So, bruh, normally how I close out, I catch my guests off guard. If you notice, this show's been pretty unique, where you know we ask a lot of the same questions because we want the story, but we don't ask it the same way as everybody else.
What's up. Yeah.
So I end the show with, you got any questions for me?
Man, I really don't have no questions for you, but it's much love, much appreciation, and I like what you're doing. Just keep putting it down, and let's turn it up. We gonna meet again, man. I'm gonna come back and holler at you once we turned it all the way up. We gonna keep it lit, you know? But it's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, bro. Well, on that note, man, it's Contrast Uncut, Season 2, Episode 36. Really, man, I've had the pleasure of getting some real history, some real knowledge. Because, you know, knowledge is power, but when you use that knowledge, it's your superpower. And this brother right here was sharing knowledge like, you know, he was giving away bands or something with his power of the knowledge.
I dropped some free game. A lot of people might not understand it, but if they really tune in, it was free game. But they got to be able to take it to the next level, man. But it's all good. I appreciate you, man. And it's all love, man. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep spreading that positive energy, man. Keep it lit,
man. Man, I want to give a big shout out to Bobby D Presents and Uncle Snoop.
Shout out Bobby D. Shout out Uncle Snoop. Shout out to the Army. Shout out Patty. Shout out Barbara. Shout out the whole team. For sure, we're gonna keep mobbing, man. Cream City. It's all love.
Absolutely.
I got you. What up? What up? This MH the Don live with Contrast Uncut. And it's all love. Tap in and stay tuned in. 100.
You hear me?
Yeah. It's all good. I'm at you, man. Stay up, man. Get at me. I'm here, man.
Bro, most definitely. I'll tap in. Barbara. Survivor with a fittest, shook ones and never reach. Survivor quiet storm, I guess the louder you could be. Or the freaky tide, we was lost.